Hey, 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 EJ listeners, happy new year. We are excited for our first episode of the EJ of 2021. Big things are going to happen this year for all of you. We're super excited. Today's episode is going to be about popping the question. Popping the question in sales and how to do it the best way possible. So we're gonna dive into that, talk about that. We wanna hear from you and listen to what topic requests you have for this year. So please comment, message us, let us know what topics you wanna hear about this year, guys. All right, let's jump in.
All right, welcome back to the EJ, everybody. It's 2021 and we are diving in as promised to all things business, all things entrepreneurship. And the thing we're going to discuss today, maybe the most important thing that you do in your business, and that is popping the question. Popping the question, which is, how would you like to pay for this product, right? We're not proposing, but I think so many people have an issue. They work their ass off to get to a point, and then a lot of people are scared to ask for money, or they haven't trained the person that does that for them to ask for money. So I think no matter what you're doing here, you know, whether you're in the hair business or chiropractic or a physical therapist or a restaurateur, there comes a point where you have to kind of prove the value of your product and ask for that money. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, if you don't feel confident with that, you've got to get over it, because you need to make that income to have a business. You need to have that income coming in to provide the service and to achieve all the goals that you probably wrote out for 2021. See this many patients, see this many clients, make this much money. All great, but if you don't know how to close a deal, you're gonna struggle. So let's talk today a little bit about asking that question. Before we even get to that question, let's talk about a couple things that we want the mindset of the clients, of the patient, to be going into this financial, where you let them know what it's going to cost in your office.
Well, I think first they have to trust you, right?
Many
of them are coming in, certainly in our world, off of a social media campaign that they're driving and producing. So there's very little trust there. They looked at a simple ad that said, hey, come on in for a discounted rate to check us out. They're tire kicking a little bit and want to see. So you have to start to earn trust. And I think we're probably going to talk about this later, ways to earn that, but they have to first start to trust you.
Go ahead, Chelsea.
I was just going to say, I think that we can all admit a time where, you know, there was a service presented to us by two different people doing the same thing. And one of them, we were happy to pay and even tipped them on top of their more expensive rate than the other person. If you trust them and you know that their work is quality and their care, their service, whatever it is going to be the quality that you're looking for. So having the confidence and building that trust, I think is a couple of the really important things.
Yeah, get out of your mind that sales is a dirty word. I mean, without sales, the economy doesn't move forward. So people buy stuff and are sold stuff every day. Every cup of coffee you buy, every place you go to lunch, every grocery store you go to, your house, your car, you know, everything.
You probably sold something, four things, before you even get to the office in the morning.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And so it's a positive thing. And so I think you're dead on, Dr. B, with trust. I mean, we work hard. People aren't going to make a decision by knowing as much as you do about your product. So you have a limited amount of time, a day, an hour, a week, whatever your business dictates, to build trust in this person where they trust you. They trust your knowledge. They trust that you are doing the best thing for them for the right reasons. And then in our world, you want to give them hope. You know, so we educate them, we empower them is the word we use, to make decisions on their health. We show them how what they report with to our office, which are things they want to address, everything from, you know, migraines to poor sleeping to allergies to back pain to you name it, right? We show them that we have the expertise and the knowledge and the skill set to make progress with that for you. And we're the right person to do that. So before we even sit down, like for us, the financial is a foregone conclusion. That's not when you sell someone something. You know, you've long decided if you're going to do business with somebody as you start to meet them. And we've both had both different ways on this. Sometimes you meet somebody and you're like, I would never give a penny to this person, man. They're a slime ball. Like I'm not giving them any money. There's other times that you're like, I feel super comfortable with this decision. So spot on, trust, build it, develop it. Realize the sale starts when you pick up the phone to meet that person for the first time. I think so many people think like, how do I ask for money? Well, asking for money is a piece of cake if you've done all the right things leading up to it.
So as you're saying that, I'm thinking about places that I go past in the morning. My coffee shop is a great example. I think I passed probably 6 to 8 other coffee shops, Starbucks, whatever, to come to my one place I like to go to. It's closer to my office. That's not why I come to it at all, but it's because they know my name. They know my drink. They know the stuff I want. They've earned some trust with me already. And that's why I drive past the other 6 on my way. So I'm as you were saying that, Jay, I was thinking just in my own life, why do I go to certain gas stations? Why do I go to this? And it's not always proximity by any means. It's mm-hmm. more of like, that's my spot. That's where I go because I trust them.
Comfort.
So, right. Yeah. But they've created that.
Yeah.
So one of the big things I look at when I first walk into our clinics, I do this in all businesses, is just the appearance of the clinic itself. Like that already starts my sale as soon as I walk into the door. And Jay, you taught me this years ago, light bulbs being out, trash and litter on the ground. There's clutter all over the front desk. I'm like, what is going on here? If I just walk in a matter of 30 seconds and see all that, what's really going on in the back of the house that I don't even know about yet? Mm-hmm. So that's one of my first things I look at as far as that trust of beginning a sale with me. How's the place look that I'm walking into?
Yeah, I mean, especially healthcare, right? I mean, healthcare, maybe, and maybe even restaurants. Yeah, like I want clean. I want meticulous detail. I want a place that is proud of their product and it shows in everything that they do.
Jane, you remember when you and I went to get golf clubs and we went to get fitted by PXG. We've heard of PXG. We said, okay, wow, they're an incredible brand. It's awesome. And you can go to various places to get fitted for that. Mm-hmm. We happened to go to their headquarters, which is in Phoenix and Scottsdale.
Yeah.
And we walk into their place. And remember when we walked into that thing, you go into this shop and it's like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The setup that they have for you to come in there and hit balls for 2 hours to try to sell me. Honestly, some of the most expensive clubs on the market, worth every penny, by the way. I'll never forget the experience of going in there. They sold me as soon as I walked in the front door based on their setup.
Well, and what happened was I actually did it first.
Yeah.
And you were with me.
Yes.
And they impressed me to such a level while you're watching that you're like, I'm doing that.
Yep.
Right. And so, but that they knew your name when you walked in, the place was immaculate. The staff up front was spot on, good looking, knew who was coming in.
Right, dressed the places to the nines and all PXG gear. I
mean, so it just looked great. So
which is exactly why they can charge more than your typical clubs you could get anywhere else, because the quality, the service, the experience is there.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay $6,000 for clubs for a place that does the exact same thing as Dick's Sporting Goods, where I could pay $5.99.
Yeah.
And both have a place. I mean, like we've always talked about, there's a Walmart, there's a Tiffany's, there's both of them have a room in the market. But yeah, if you're going to charge a good fee, and you should. You know, like, I mean, we never want to be the cheapest at what we do, but we provide a value that justifies our fee structure time and time again.
Many moons ago, I did get a fitting at Dick's, and it's this little bay in the back, and there was some guy who was sitting on the chair like, oh, sorry, can I help you? And I pull up and there's like 3 golf balls like laying on the floor that he sets up for me to try to hit. Mm. It was terrible.
Right. But it's better than some places.
Right.
Right. It's better than Target. So if you go to Target, no one knows about the golf clubs. Yeah. There's 2 choice, you know, so it's like, it's different.
Does Target have golf clubs? I don't, they probably do, but I've never seen
it. It has everything, I think.
Yeah.
But so anyway, appearance. I got my head spinning on different things, thinking about where I've been, where appearance instantly sold me when I walked in.
Which is building trust.
Right.
You build that trust. So you start, you instantaneously start to be like, these people really are experts in this field. And so in chiropractic, we want people to think that exact same thing. Like, there's no better place for me to be right now to address what's going on. And sometimes people have fear in their eyes. They can't stand up straight. Their head hurt. They're scared to death. These people need to know, I'm going to trust this person with my health, with my future, with my ability to get back to living life. And then you trust them ongoing to maintain that.
So sometimes this occurred like, or doesn't sometimes, all the time occurs on the very first time we speak to the patient. Chelsea, you were a master at this when you ran the clinic in Denver.
Yep.
So a patient calls, and I just know, we'll talk about that, Chelsea, how sometimes a patient calls you instantly over the phone, some of the things that you led them through on that initial call, all of a sudden they start to come in. They're like, where's Chelsea? They already knew Chelsea before they even.
Yeah, I think just leading the patient through and really listening to them and making them feel heard is step number one, because a lot of times they just get pushed through these different doctor's offices or chiropractic offices, and they're just a number. And it's like, okay, well, what can we get this person to just get them better and out the door? Where in our offices, I was actually going to just talk about some training videos I filmed earlier this week. Like, I did it and I used to do it at a high level too, but like, it's just so cool to see how high level our staff in our offices is, and really how I know they blow patients away every single day with the level of care they provide. And this is, I'm talking about chiropractic assistants, not even the doctors at this point. Like, just the initial discovery that was happening on the video I was recording, it's just like, how could that patient not want to stay there no matter what it costs? Because they're just going to be taken care of at the highest level possible. It was really cool to be reminded. I know what it's like to work in the office and be in the offices, but it was a really cool reminder just to see how awesome our, you know, training is and the people that are working in our offices. And I think that's why, I mean, that is why our offices do so well. Sorry, docs, it's not all you, but the CAs are awesome too. And they do a really great job at being genuine and caring for those patients that are coming in. And that, like you said, that's day one. By the end of that appointment, I was always convinced that I could tell if the patient was going to do something or nothing at all, like at that point, for sure.
So give an example of a company that's not us that you have this, like, that you're just loyal to their brand. Like, who do you know? Like, these people have taken care of me. They've earned my business basically for life.
PXD is one of my first ones.
I think that, like, Apple. Like, I never consider, like, I wonder what kind of phone I'm going to buy next time. Mm-hmm. Like, with my car, like, I have an Audi. I've had an Audi the last couple of times, but I'm like, I may want an Aston Martin next time. You know, like, I mean, it's not like I love them so much that I would never go away. Apple has just made my life easy. I understand them. I know the product. They've proven themselves from iPhone 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and now 12. And so that's one I think a lot of people have loyalty to. Mm-hmm. And just one person, myself, and I guess two, Vanessa, being loyal to that brand. Every office now has Apple products that are going into it. Our billing company has it. Our corporate office has it. And we probably buy 100 different Apple products. Jesus, I mean, maybe 200 Apple products a year just from being loyal. And, you know, I know Apple's by no means doesn't have everyone locked down, but at the same time, like, they've done enough and they have to really screw up to take that away from us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's funny too with Apple, because they've set themselves up where, like, other phones and other computers, it's like a different language now. So they've kind of set themselves up so you can't really go away very easily. But yep. I think that they made it more user-friendly. You know, I mean, I've used Apple since I was in middle school, and so I'm very loyal as well. And when I was in the office before we started implementing Apple products, it was like, it took me like a while to relearn how to use a PC, like, versus the Macs that I had at home and in school. So,
yep, big time.
I'll be cautious on one example, not to pop the cork on this topic, because we could go somewhere crazy in the podcast, but certain wines are like that for me, that when I order from them, when I join their clubs, I just always know, like, you know exactly the wine you're going to get. I love their packaging, even how they put it together.
Yep.
It looks beautiful. Quintessa is one of the ones I'm thinking of. I have boxes of that at home where I know what I'm going to get when I order from them.
Yep.
And then my other one, you guys kind of pick on me about, but now I think you maybe both have pairs, is my No Bull shoes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw a shout out to them on the podcast, but I love my No Bull shoes. I know what I get with those. They fit like I want them. Some shoes are big or small in their sizing. And I know how the quality is with them, that they last for freaking ever. And I love them. I know you got a pair for Christmas, Dr. J. Congrats. Welcome.
Full disclosure, I bought a pair for each of my boys and bought myself one when I was shopping. So, but yeah, another good example. Like, I saw that you wore them. I saw that you liked them. And I'm like, shit, I'll grab four pair. They're not cheap.
Right.
So, I mean, it's, but they have a great webpage and a great story of their business. And I appreciate that. So, so you build this brand loyalty. And I know we're getting a little bit away from popping the question of financial, but when you build this loyalty, popping the question isn't tough. When the annual renewal comes up for somebody, it's just a foregone conclusion. Like, you know, they wouldn't go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you want to do, is you build your company, no matter what you're doing, is you build it to such a level where people are loyal to you. They wouldn't go anywhere else because of your skill set, because of your ability to exceed their expectation every time they walk in your door, and because you genuinely care for them as a patient and as a client. And we've built a company on those, really those 3 points right there.
Yeah.
I remember something from when I was actually a CA many, many moons ago. It was in like a Tuesday training, I believe. And you were, Dr. Jason, I think you said, like, you should be shocked if the patient doesn't choose monthly or prepay at the financial. And I think that is a good indicator of if you've done a good job the days prior or the day prior to them right. coming in. And you should, like, that's why I say, like, by the end of the initial discovery, I can kind of feel out what their financial situation is based on their stress level. And, you know, and then, you know, they've either told you that they're just going to be in town for a month, or you feel like they're going to, you know, they're going to do something, you know, get some sort of care and commit to your office for their care instead of going somewhere else. So that always stuck with me, and then also helped me hold myself accountable too for.
And that's the headspace of the person going in. I mean, every CA and doc's excited about the first person that prepays or the first person that signs on, as is every business. But then you start to, like, when people are like, hey, I got my first prepay sign on today. Like, great. Now that should happen twice a day for the rest of your life. Yep. Right. I mean, that's your expectation, is everyone, of course, wants what you have to offer, because what you have to offer is at such a high level and it's such a value for what you charge. People should be lined up to get in, and great businesses do that. Mediocre businesses are shocked when someone signs up. They're kind of surprised, right? Because everyone's going to get lucky. Now and then the right person comes in, they just want it, and they sign up. Whether or not you're good, 10% of people are just going to sign up and you get kind of lucky. It's how you know, and then 10% on the other side are never going to sign up. They're just there to be a pain in your ass. They bought a Groupon and they're just there to come and go. The 80% in the middle is where great businesses are born. And if you can really build that trust with those people and get them to be loyal to your brand, that's when you're going to separate yourself from the pack of mediocrity. And in entrepreneurship, that's everything. Put yourself in the top 10, 5, 1%.
Some of our young docs have said to me before, like, doc, I went and I shadowed, or I toured this office at one of our highly successful ones. And they said, it just seemed so easy. When they got to the money part, the patient just literally, like, handed their card over and said, yeah, sign me up. Like, yep. How does that happen? They forget about all this other stuff we're talking. When they get to the actual part, like, oh yeah, it costs blah, blah, blah. It just comes out. There's no stress. There's no, like, oh, maybe I don't know if they're going to pay or do. They've done such a good job on the front end of all these things we've been mentioning, that it just unreleases that stress that was there before. And they're just like, yeah, here's what it costs. But how do you want to take care of it? So young docs forget that. They just are, they're so focused on this big dog and pony show at the end to get the sale. They forget all the pre stuff up front.
I think a lot of the time to newer businesses, whether it's stuff like a service-based business, mostly I think a service-based business is when people try to, like, or they're scared to charge money because it's something they enjoy doing. And there's not a product that actually has a price that they have to pay for it. I think that's where it's harder for people to pop the question, you know, and is when they're like, I'm thinking of my independent hairstylist. Like, she just rents out of a space. So she has to come up with her own pricing and, you know her worth and not be afraid to charge it. And when I first got out of photography school, I was the same way. Like, I was like, this is fun. Like, I'm going to give everybody a discount because it's so fun. And then I was like, editing for 10 hours, you know, and I was like, holy shit, I need to charge more. Like, yeah. And so I think you start to realize, but the thing about service-based businesses is when Dr. Brandon goes across the street to get his coffee, they never expect him, and he never expects to, like, negotiate or be like, oh, I can't afford that much coffee because it's only a dollar at the gas station. Like, he just pays it. And they just tell them what it is. And so you just have to figure out what your prices are and then be confident when, you know, asking, when popping the question.
I ask docs a lot of times, and we could ask you guys on the podcast, would you pay yourself for your service what you charge? Would you pay that amount? I've asked docs, would you prepay for your care? Mm-hmm. And of course they're always like, well, yeah. But I more just ask it to see if they would really think about it later. Like, what would I pay that? Do I actually believe in what I'm selling? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good question to start with yourself. Is my service, my product worth whatever your price tag was you put on it in the first place? Maybe you need to check your headspace a little bit about your belief on what you're doing if you said no to that question.
Yeah, or, without a doubt. I mean, I think when you sit down to actually, because there's a moment where like the financial, if you will. So this is when you actually sit down and you've done everything, you've built trust, you know, there's still a time you sit down at the table. And so for us, it's going over and we, you know, empower the patient, ask them what their goals are, and then we give them a financial based on their goals. So if their goal is one visit a month, then here we're going to talk about that. If your goal is correction of your spine, a lot of people in our offices, that's what their goal is after they learn what's going on. So we have a financial for that. But even the explanation of the financial at that moment, if it's based from confidence, from we're not going to negotiate, from our fee is our fee is our fee, that's what we charge, you know, it comes across that way. So it's, you know, it's Brandon, here's what you want. Congratulations. This doctor's incredible. Again, you're building confidence in this person in your facility. And then you say the price for that is whatever, $4,722. We have a couple different options. You can just knock that out today, or we can break that out into monthly payments for you. What works best for you? And then you just shut your mouth, yeah, right? And then you let that person just let you know. A lot of times it's, I think I'll go monthly, or I think I'll just put it on credit card if that's fine. Great. Then move on and get the person the care that you promised them and get into what you do. Now, if they're like, oh man, I want it, but there's no way. Like that's more than my house payment. I can't do that. Then you have to show them different ways to do that. Now, notice I didn't say, then you have to negotiate your price. You know, can you spread out their payments a couple extra months? Is there possibly less care that they need to get until they're able to do that? You know, but once you build this confidence of like, this is our fee structure, you have certain rules in your business that are non-negotiable. Certain things are, right? Like for us, people can come 3 times a week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday is ideal. Tuesday, Thursday, Friday is okay. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we could bend the, you know, like we'll work with stuff like that. They have to take x-rays because we have to see what we're adjusting. And our fee structure is our fee structure. It's not negotiable because I don't want to have people sitting next to each other in the waiting room that one person got a second job to afford care, but the other person has a brand new Yukon Denali, so they didn't want to pay that much. It's not fair to anybody.
No.
So it's very fair to say, here's our fee structure and everyone is on that fee structure. And when you have that confidence, when you sit down, people sense it. You know, mm-hmm. You don't go negotiate a Ferrari. The Ferrari is usually, here's the cost.
Yeah.
You can finance it. You can prepay it. You can do whatever you need to do, but you're not going to go in. If you want something less, they're going to say, why don't you go look at a Mercedes, right? That's less than a Ferrari. And then if you negotiate a Mercedes, they may say, maybe a Volkswagen is more what you're looking for. And it's great. They're all great in their own right, but you don't go in trying to get a Ferrari for the price of a Jetta. That's not going to happen. And so I think it's the same thing with your fee structure. Once you build that trust and once you have confidence that your business model is spot on, then you sit your ass down with the person, you explain your fee, and then you move on based upon how they want to do it. That kind of confidence is what closes deals more than anything.
There's a real small thing that you just skipped right over because you were just rolling on that segment there. But you said when you present your fee, did you want to do this or this? And there's a moment of silence right there that happens. And I've sat through this hundreds of times where you just got to let that moment of silence fill the room and just shut it. You said it, like shut your mouth for a second, just let that person think.
Yep.
And they're probably going through like, I could put it on this card, or maybe I could shift around some funds here. They're just analyzing what they might be able to do for payment.
Right.
So young docs take that as nervousness and they're like, oh God, they're going to say no. So then they just start talking.
We can take less payment, or we can do that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you just shut it for a second. It exudes confidence, that silence. And let them think, and then they'll tell you where they want to go. Well, I could possibly do this. And then what you said, Jay, you lead them down the path that's best for them. But allowing that silence to occur is very hard for some people, and it's okay to do if you allow it.
Well, and then something else to elaborate on what you just said, Brandon, is that you don't ask if it works, you ask which way it works, and you give them two options first.
Yep.
So would you prefer more flexibility in your payments or the biggest amount of savings? And then you show them those two options. You know, there's another third option for a plan B, but you're not going to show that to them because there's too many options and they're just going to be like, overwhelmed. And you just have to go with keeping it simple for them. Know if they're going to ask them the two questions, which one works best for you?
Yep. Not,
does this work for you? Or is that okay? Or what do you think about that? but you just have to assume they're doing one of them and you're just going to pick which one, let them pick which one is best for them.
Well, and by the way, have enough confidence, because the big, you know, the obstacle to overcome in a financial is people thinking, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to talk to my spouse and let you know. I'm going to go figure out my finances and let you know. You've had your chance at that point. So have confidence that you can send that person off to think about it and come back and do it. So, I mean, so many people are like, no, don't let them leave the table, and they have to call their spouse right in front of you. Like, that's how you buy vacuums, right? So that's not how you buy, in our world, healthcare. If someone says, hey, you know what? It's $4,500. I'd like to talk to my wife. Awesome. I completely understand. I would do the same. So I'm going to call you tonight, see how your adjustment went, see how your body responded, and I'll answer any questions for you. Again, it's just confidence. It's not like I'm scared they're going to go away. And they may go away, by the way. You know, like, you'd like them to make a decision. In the world of sales, when people are most motivated is right there in front of you. But everyone's not going to do that. So when they say, I need to think about it, I think, one, you address any concerns they may have. Awesome. Just so you can think about it with all the facts, tell me a couple of the things that are holding you back right now. And they may say, well, you know, this and this, I want to check on this. Address those concerns and then let them go away and think about it. And know that with confidence who you are and what you just provided that person, that's not going to turn into a no. That's going to turn into a yes. They just need time to discuss it and process it.
I remember when I was setting up that appointment for PXT, back to that, Rebecca and I had a conversation about a week before I went. And she's like, I know you really want these clubs. Like, mm-hmm. you've been talking about them for freaking ever. Like, mm-hmm. How much are they? I'm like $5,000 or $6,000, probably. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pricey. They're tie-in, top of the market club. She's like, okay, so as long as I know that, fine. When you go down, then you just get the clubs you want. Because mm-hmm. I'm sick of hearing about them, but get them.
Yep.
So then we already took out let me talk about it. Let me ask my spouse right. conversation. We just already kind of knew. Rebecca's blessing, get your damn golf clubs. And it was there. So kind of back to what you said, like, I need to think about it. But we'd already said it in our head. We're getting them.
Yep, for sure. I mean, every couple has that number.
Yeah.
It's to vary. So a lot of people, like, honestly, Vanessa and I would never talk to each other on that, especially for healthcare or something. It would just be like, I got this, but we're in a pretty good financial spot. So I get that. You know, if I'm going to go buy a brand new car, I'm probably going to talk to Vanessa about it. You know, I mean, I think that's a courteous thing to do.
Yeah.
You don't buy a house without talking to your spouse. And although Chelsea, I think Brian bought a house without talking to you, didn't he?
Yeah, twice.
So for Chelsea, well,
I wasn't there. He talked to me about it, but I didn't see the house.
Right.
Which was, yeah.
No. So, I mean, it's realize every couple has a different number, and some couples legitimately want to talk, and you'll sense that this person, no person, not the best salesperson and not Zig Ziglar, right? Who's a classic salesperson, not Grant Cardone. Like, everyone doesn't have 100% close rate. It doesn't happen. Some people are going to say no. And you have to be like, fantastic. It's not no forever. It's no for now. Still win them over. Still show them appreciation. Let them know you understand. See if you can get them, you know, something maybe less in your practice. Instead of three times a week, maybe it's once a month. Maybe it's an annual adjustment. Maybe they're buying supplements from you. Whatever. We have a stat we call SIP, right? Stayed in practice. And that's measuring anyone that comes to you, that meets you, wants to stay in your practice some way, shape, or form. And that's a big thing to measure, because what you don't want is people come and being like, I don't want a damn thing. Yeah. And then they leave. They didn't trust you. They didn't buy what you were saying, literally and mentally.
We always tell docs that number needs to be up your 85-90%, even higher. There's offices that have that at like 96%.
Yep.
Chelsea kind of alluded to it earlier. You ought to be offended if someone comes in, you provide a lot of the stuff we talked about, the environment, the attitude, the atmosphere, everything, and then they still said no. Like, holy crap, what a kick in the balls that is.
Yeah.
Just leave.
Yeah.
You'll have, like you said, some Groupon seekers, deal seekers that just, no matter what you did, yeah, they're out.
Part of business. Still win them over, and there'll be a referral down the road, man. Right. Do the best thing. So closing thoughts on closing the deal.
I want to challenge people to really look at the factors that are building trust. So if sales are going to increase, then what stuff can you do on the front end? So I want you to take a look at the appearance of the office, your staff's initial contact with these people, the process of going through your product or service and understanding that. What could they possibly do there to increase trust? Because I guarantee that'll help increase sales.
Chelsea.
Yeah, I was going to say something that you talked about earlier, Brandon, and ask yourself, would you pay for your service or your product? Like, and if not, why not? And change that.
Yeah.
I would just say, I'd reiterate that the sale happens way before you sit down at the table to close the deal. And way before you're talking what credit card you want to put it on, they've had a 100-point checklist that they've checked or not checked boxes that you've hit. And if you show them and they genuinely care that you believe, you know, you're on their side, you are a good value, you're an expert at what you do, you appreciate them, you're going to act the same after you receive their money as you do before their money. It's not a dog and pony show just to close a deal. Like, you're a legitimate business that this person can be with and trust and feel comfortable. That's really important. So build that trust and realize that starts when that person calls your office, when they pull up to park. And, you know, Brandon said it, that's everything from the light bulbs being good, the music being nice, setting a good tone, hitting all the senses of that person coming into your practice where they're like, I love this business. That's what you want to build. And that's how the financial happens. So good call, guys. This is important stuff. So make sure you're working on closing the deal, have confidence in your product. And that's how you will build that dream practice and hit those goals in 2021. So appreciate all of you from listening, and we will come at you here hopefully next week. Although we're off to a group meeting, a tribe, getting the crew together, the big crew now. I know. But we'll try to get one in next week and continue it. So God bless.